Enjoying everyday life, emphasis being on every day. Anybody can enjoy a party, payday, vacation, getting to go shopping, but what about just plain old ordinary everyday life? What about just doing the dishes, going to the grocery store, cutting the grass, taking the car in for service, driving in traffic Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? How many of you know what I mean? Okay. So I think that it requires the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. I really do. I don't think just an ordinary person can do that. I think we need the power of the Holy Spirit. But another thing that we really need that's really important is an attitude, a different attitude toward life. Everything that we do can be done as a service to God. That's what I call doing life with God. In other words, you can take a common, ordinary, everyday thing like going to the grocery store, but if you believe that God is with you when you go and you're even fellowshipping with him as you go, and you just say, God, I'm doing this as a service to you. Do you know that every part of your life God is concerned about? God doesn't just see you when you go to church. He's with you all the time, everywhere. There's never one moment of your life that God is not there. So stop ignoring him most of the time. Amen. I said, stop ignoring him most of the time. And then just thinking that a relationship with God is only for those emergencies in your life. This to me actually was one of the most life-changing things for me, to realize that God actually was concerned about everything that I did, and he wanted to be involved in and included in every single thing that I did, and that there was, see, mundane things can become very special when you do them with and for God. Amen. Amen? Amen? So I dare you to try it. You won't be sorry that you did. Enjoy everyday life, do everything as a service to God, and then last but not least, very important, make a decision that you are going to stop wanting somebody else's life or some other life than the life that you've got, and that you are going to enjoy your life. Even though there may be things that you don't care about, everybody's got stuff they don't care about, everybody. I get to go home today and unpack and pack again. Woohoo! And I'm going to do it as a service to God, and I'm going to enjoy it. But you know what? You do have to remind yourself. Otherwise, you go through life, I dread this, I dread that. And then we can begin to get a bad attitude about a lot of things that we're going to do anyway. And if you're going to do it anyway, then what is the point in being miserable and having a bad attitude about it? Honestly, I want you to really get this. Your life can be so super special to you. And it can be something that you enjoy if you just learn to look at things in a different way. You know, I kept wanting life to change. Anybody there? I just want life to change. Well, you know what? It's not likely to. It could get worse. It may get better. But you can change. And I found out that I could change. I could change my attitude toward life. Stop waiting for life to do something for me and me just decide that with God and through God that I could really enjoy every little aspect of my life. I don't like to wait, and I've even enjoyed waiting. I just scare myself sometimes. I'm so different than I used to be. You can learn to just be peaceful and enjoy the presence of God in anything that you do just by making a slight attitude adjustment. How many of you find when you listen to the word that it gives you a little attitude adjustment? Amen? And that's good. So John chapter 10, verse 10, one of my very favorite scriptures in the Bible. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. You have an enemy, the devil. A lot of people go to church all their life and never even really are taught and understand that they have an enemy, that the devil hates you. He doesn't like the fact that you receive Christ as your Savior and that you're a child of God. But now that you have, the one thing he absolutely does not want you to do is enjoy it. He's totally devoted to your misery. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But thank God for this royal interruption. Jesus said, I came. Don't you love that? That you might have and enjoy your life. Have and enjoy your life. Can you imagine that? Not just breathe and barely make it through till we get to go to heaven. But have and enjoy your life. Jesus died so we could go to heaven, have our sins forgiven, but also that we might enjoy our lives and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. So it is a God-ordained thing that you might enjoy your life. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I've kind of learned if I don't do it on purpose, it's not likely to get done. I want to say that again. If you don't do it on purpose, then you get into that thing of, well, I can enjoy payday and vacation and when I get to go shopping and, you know, all those special things that I wish that I could live in, but we can't. Most of life is just plain old ordinary, same old, same old, same old. Now, I've talked about several different things in the conference, ways that you can enjoy your life better, but today I'm going to talk about a bunch more and just download a lot of information on you, all very practical things, because, you know, as Christians, we don't just float around on a cloud somewhere and sing the hallelujah chorus. We still have all the same plain old everyday ordinary things to do that everybody else has to do. So today I want to talk to you about simplifying your life. How many of you feel that life can be pretty complicated sometimes? Now, let me ask you this. Even if life is not complicated, how many of you are good at complicating it? See, I'm like really good at that. I mean, I've learned a lot and I'm still learning more, but I'm just not a real simple person. I mean, I just a little bit more kind of complex and out there. And I'm also going to talk to you a little bit today about balance, because in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, the devil roams about like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone he may devour. So if he's seeking someone, it doesn't have to be you and it doesn't have to be me. He roams about seeking someone. And then immediately after that, it says, or right before that, it says, be well balanced, for your adversary, the devil, roams about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So it's obviously telling us that one of the ways that he gets into our lives is if we lack balance. That means we're doing too much of something or not enough of something. God's word says we are to do all things in moderation and do all things in an orderly fashion. God is not the author of confusion. He is actually very orderly. And if you don't believe it, just look at all the instructions he gave for building the ark or the temple. I mean, you talk about somebody that's caught up in details. In Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38, we have the story that we call Mary and Martha. And some of you here today would be more like Mary, and some of you would be more like Martha. I, of course, am like Martha. Now, while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. She had a good heart. She even had a personal relationship with Jesus. They were friends. She was glad he was there. But I'm getting ready to show you that she didn't know how to enjoy him. She was too busy fixing everything, so it was just the way she thought it should be to actually enjoy him being there. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have company, when I have company, sometimes I'm so caught up in trying to take care of everything for the party that I never get around to enjoying the people that are there. And I overdo most things. I've usually got enough food last for 3 days after they're gone. And Martha didn't know how to have a party either and enjoy it. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. Now, Mary had the ability to adjust and recognize what was the most important thing at the moment. Are you listening to me? What was the most important thing at the moment, and she knew how to submit some things to more important things and then get back to those other things when she needed to. Do you know that so many people, when they go out in the world, they are so focused on what they want to do and their plan that we miss so many what could be miraculous moments to speak a word in due season to somebody, to help somebody, to smile at somebody, to give somebody a compliment. And I don't know if you've ever heard me teach this or not, but I started about 2 years ago praying for what I call the gift of awareness. That I'm aware of what's going on around me. That I'm aware of what God is doing. There are so many things that God is doing in our lives that are so magnificent, and yet we can get so focused on this project we have, we don't want to miss the miracle of the moment. Amen? But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving and came up to him and said, "Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Now she's even got a bad attitude because Mary is enjoying herself and she's not. And I don't know about you, but I was really bad about that. If I was working, I wanted everybody to work. And if I was working and Dave was enjoying watching a football game, I didn't like it that I was working, so I worked very loud. Do any of you ladies know anything about working loud? And of course, Dave's just so cute. He just kind of lives in his own little world. And I would march back and forth through the room where he was at, dragging the vacuum sweeper with me and huffing and puffing and slamming doors and drawers. And he just didn't. "Honey, if you're going to the kitchen, could you bring me an iced tea?" And she says, "Lord, tell her to help me." Tell her to do her part, to lend a hand and help me. But the Lord replied to her by saying, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one or but a few things. Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her." Now, let me ask you a question. If you're having company, is it better for you to try to impress them or to enjoy them? Well, I tell you what, I can make a nightmare out of having company over. And I tell this story often, but I so remember this. Be at church on Sunday, say to a few people in the adult Sunday school, "Hey, why don't you guys come over next Sunday after church and just, you know, we'll throw some hot dogs on the grill and maybe do some baked beans, potato chips, something simple. We'll sit around, chat, do whatever, you know." Well, so at that point, I had Dave and I and three couples, and then during the week, I'd think about all the people I didn't invite that probably were going to get offended that they weren't asked, and then I would start inviting people that I didn't want to be there and didn't even like. Come on, have you ever invited anybody to something you were doing that you didn't like and didn't want there just because you didn't want them to get offended? And then I decided that hot dogs weren't impressive, so I went and bought steaks I couldn't afford. Then I spent the whole week cleaning the house. Had to plant the flowers outside in case anybody went outside. Paint the barbecue pit, get out the lawn furniture. To be honest, by the time the people got there, I was mad at Dave, first of all, because he wasn't helping me. He wasn't even the one that invited him over. But I was mad because he wasn't helping me. And I'd spent all this money, so now I resented the people. I didn't even want them there. And I remember just, and I mean, that's just one example. I'm telling you what, I could complicate. Oh man, I complicated Christmas. Lord have mercy, I could complicate Christmas. I have so simplified that. It's like, I'm getting gift certificates. Where do you want it from? Amen? We can simplify life if we will begin to not just turn things into nightmares that we don't need to turn into nightmares. How many of you ladies have ever had an argument with your husband and when you got in bed that night, there's no way you're touching him? You sleep so far over, you're just like almost to fall out of the bed. Been cold all night because you wouldn't ask for any of the cover. I am not asking you for any. Now, who was smart and who was dumb? Dave was warm, covered up, got a good night's sleep. And I thought I was getting him back by doing what I was doing. Simplify your life when somebody hurts your feelings or offends you or makes you mad. Forgive them and let it go. Do yourself a favor and forgive. But it's not fair and it's not right. Well, guess what? God is the God of justice. And if somebody really is mistreating you, and you go to God with it, and you're willing to forgive and let God handle it, nobody who's really mistreating you will get by with it for very long if you put your trust in God. Because God is our vindicator with a capital V. Now, to complicate means to make or become complex, to be intricate or bewildering. Complicated things are hard to understand. They bewilder us. They confuse us. But simple, I love this. The word simple means being composed of one thing. Not complex, easy, without addition or modification. Not deceitful, but sincere and having no overtones. Now here's a great example. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And everything else gets taken care of. Come on, I mean, that's really what he's saying. You focus on seeking the kingdom and everything else that you need in life, every other problem that you have, God will take care of it and work it out. But what do? We ignore seeking the kingdom. We have no time for God because we're trying to keep up with our overloaded, ridiculous schedule that we complain about all the time that's wearing us out and making us hard to get along with. Am I going too fast? Well, I'm trying to work in time for God. Don't try to work God into your schedule. Work your schedule around God. Now, you took part of your Saturday. Many of you, your only time off is Saturday and Sunday, and then you're probably going to spend part of Sunday in church. So this time that you're spending here today is very precious to you, very important to you, but I can tell you what, it's not time lost, it's time invested, and God will make other things simple for you. I want you to think about it. Seek ye first, and all of these other things will be added unto you. And Psalm 27:4 is another scripture that's real similar. and goes on actually through verse 8, if you want to get the whole picture, King David said, "One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in your presence and behold your beauty all the days of my life. Then shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me, and in your tent I will offer sacrifices and shouts of joy." How can you be assured that your enemy will not be able to be successful in his attack against you? Do the one thing you need to do that's the most important thing first: seek the kingdom. You're being very wise taking this time today. You're very wise when you get up in the morning and you spend half an hour, or 15 minutes, or whatever your plan is with God before you go out and try to do any other thing. "Come unto me," Jesus said, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will ease, relieve, and refresh your souls." Don't you love that? God can make hard things easy. We can do hard things with ease if we put that first important thing in our life first. How many of you have noticed that the devil fights you on your time with God more than he fights any other thing? And this is the way it is everywhere that I go. And I want to tell you something. It is the last thing in the world that you want to not have time for. There's so many other things that we spend time on that are useless and ridiculous. But we need that time with God. Now, another thing that really complicates your life is when you try to figure out everything. Reason out everything. I was addicted to reasoning. I think you can get addicted to things like that too. It's like I could not settle down until I felt like that I had a sufficient reason for what was going on. Any of the rest of you just like to get mental and really just figure out? God, I have to understand this. God, I have to understand this. Why am I like this? Why are they like that? Why didn't you do this? Why did you do this? When and why? When and why? Why, God, why? And when, God, when? Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, great scriptures. You can simplify your life by beginning to refuse to try to figure things out. Now, that doesn't mean we go around and we're just dumb all the time. We can ask God to give us understanding, to give us insight and revelation, and then we go on about our business until God shows us what we need to see. There's nothing wrong with thinking about something and pondering something, but once you start feeling confused, that's when you know you've gone too far. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Somebody say amen.